French Connection, épisode 39. Cette semaine, nous avons un invité spécial, Scott. Scott, please.
Hi.
It will be in English. Ça va être en anglais. Et avec Patrick qui va mener la plus grande partie de l'interview.
Bonjour tout le monde. Donc, pour cet épisode-là, on va parler du sujet de qui s'est passé à Halifax, de l'étudiant qui a été, en fait, arrêté de manière un peu très mauvaise pour avoir accédé à des documents sur le web qui étaient accessibles publiquement à tous, mais qui étaient des documents confidentiels mal sécurisés. Donc, on en parle avec Scott. Scott, do you just want to go over the whole story and just explain what happened? I quickly said it in French, but just explain a bit the technical too.
Sure. So, items were published to a Freedom of Information website with IDs that simply incremented by one for each document that was published. An enterprising young man decided after some of the labor disputes between the government and the teachers union here in Nova Scotia that he was going to pull down all of those documents because they were in fact free for the public. It is a Freedom of Information portal, and it's stated right on the front of the portal that these are going to become part of the public record. So he did that. He pulled down about 7,000 records, and it turns out that the office that was publishing that information had completely failed its duty of care to the citizens and was publishing confidential information about some of the citizens. Now, there were no controls in place, neither authentication or authorization were in place at all. These documents were absolutely free and clear. They've been found linked in other political parties' documents. Lots of reporters are very familiar with the system, and they have links to documents. Documents have been found in the Wayback Machine and in Google Cache as well. These documents were everywhere. However, a government employee made a typo when looking up a piece of information and received the completely wrong document, suddenly realizing that, in fact, that these documents were very much available to everyone, and that when you simply increased the ID, you got the next document, and so on and so forth. In a state of panic, presumably, they called their technical resources, who then confirmed that somebody had automated a system to download all of the documents in the system. After that, the Halifax police were involved, and it was reported by the CBC that the arrest included 15 officers. They seized every computer in the house, including computers that were used by the suspect's father to earn his income. His young sister of 13 years old was picked up on her way to school as well and then questioned in the back of a police car. I've heard it through sources that the house was completely destroyed. They ripped up floorboards in an effort to find these free documents. It's just a completely overblown response and a big deflection of blame.
Yeah, and they even came out at the house with guns, like a real SWAT will do. And I mean, about those documents, the system they were on, is it technically supposed to be secure because it's called like free documents or something like this?
It's not entirely clear. There's a set of slides that were just published from the Atlantic Security Conference. And it actually really details all of these things and has actual screenshots saying that like these documents are all supposed to be anonymized. and that they're part of the public record. I mean, the one maybe very slightly mitigating thing is that there was no index page that listed every single thing.
Right. But still available without authorization or any security controls. So it's still lacking on the government website in terms of security, for sure.
100%.
But like you said, I think the important word is that those documents were supposed to be censored in some way, like blacked out the names or stuff like this, and then distributed publicly. So again, it seems like it's definitely a government fault or whoever managed this, right?
Absolutely.
Ce serait quoi le point suivant pour la communauté qui s'est impliquée, qui a fait des t-shirts, qui a été diffusé à la conférence même de Atlantic Security à Halifax? Sur un de nos Slack, on a créé d'autres t-shirts, il y a un GoFundMe. Quelle serait la prochaine étape?
So, going forward, it's largely out of the community's hands. We've lent our support. The accused has asked to remain anonymous. He wants this all to go away. He wants to put this entire episode behind him and just have a normal life, not be known for this in any way, shape, or form. He's only 19. He's in school. Back in school, they had one of his conditions was that he wasn't allowed to use the internet, which was actually negatively impacting his school. And it's just, unfortunately, it's with the court right now. And one of the big things that we've already done is we've put together some money. We've drawn a lot of attention to it, which I think is very, very helpful. And within Nova Scotia, I've been encouraging people to get in touch with their MLAs, members of Legislative Assembly, and really try and hold them to account. I unfortunately have a Liberal MLA, and it is a Liberal government. So you, all of a sudden, you're starting to see some very protectionist measures taking place of people protecting their own.
Même le EFF aux États-Unis a fait un article à propos de cette erreur-là du gouvernement.
Yeah, that was actually at the request of CIPIC. There have just been some fantastic people that are looking to get involved on the Canadian side. CIPIC, which is a digital policy think tank out of the University of Ottawa, as well as the CCLA, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. They're treating this very, very seriously. And
quelle serait la prochaine étape, en fait, de sécurité au niveau du gouvernement? Qu'est-ce que eux devraient faire pour pas que ça arrive encore?
Honestly, I feel that the biggest thing that they can do is own it. Say, yes, there was a problem. The citizens deserve better than this. A small act of contrition would go a really long way in hearing them accept the blame rather than what appears to be really messing with the life of a young man who was simply curious, and now it's become a political issue, which is, that's going to haunt the government come election time, I feel. I think that they need to drop the charges, and it's somewhat out of their hands, but they have to, there is, you know, let them know that new evidence has come to light and that this access was through the fault of the government as opposed to a malicious act. And really own that and make sure that they really evaluate their systems so things like that can't happen again.
Yeah, definitely. And Even in the show notes, there will be some URLs, but this kind of things happened before. We had a kid that we did interviews a few years back about hack he did in a school that was disclosed by him in the official regular way. And also, I think 2-3 years ago, a Quebec government got the same issue, just a whistleblower saying, hey, your website is vulnerable, which is not exactly the same, but still, it was done in a responsible disclosure way. And he got sued by the government until, I think, 6 months or 12 later, they went back and say they were dropping the charge, which I think, like you said, is what should happen here, because you're not supposed to hit on someone that didn't have any criminal intention at all, even more when the fault is on the government website.
Right. There is that burden of intent that, as far as anybody can tell, is simply not there. And he was actually charged under section, the federal law is C-46-342.1, which is actually part of an anti-terrorism bill. It's very heavy-handed. It is, and the police response that came along with that level of charge was just gut-wrenching to hear what had happened.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all. All right. I think it covers pretty much the story. The next step will really be to keep continuing that people know about this. Sometimes those news goes down pretty fast. So we're going to publish again in the show notes all the details. And thanks for explaining everything. Any other points you want to add on this, Scott?
I think it is important to mention that as of today, it has been disclosed that there are additional records that have been examined by experts. I'm not quite sure who these experts are or why it took them so long, but there are new IP addresses that have been identified as accessing these records. And with this newfound information, it becomes very interesting to see what this response is going to be, because if they fail to pursue charges on these other individuals, what does that mean for the one individual that has been charged? It looks like malicious prosecution if they don't treat others the same way. And I think that the government knows full and well that that is simply not an avenue that is available to them at this time. It's been a very bad look for them, and they just simply, they're in an indefensible position. And I think that we're going to see some, I hope that we see something interesting and positive come down in the next few days.
Definitely. And let's say it again, those documents were on Google Cache and Web Archive and all other websites similar to those. So the number of people that have might seen it is technically a lot bigger than even their server are saying. So definitely looking for a good outcome here. Yep. All right. Thanks again, Scott.
And thank you both, Pat and Nick.
Thank you very much.
If there's any other cool subject, you're welcome back here.
And, that's very kind. Thank you.
And see you at ACFest or any other conference.
That's good. Thanks, guys.